Another busy week back after our legislative spring break. So this was a week that I think many would characterize as moving towards real substantive bills, bills that will have more direct impact and aren't as politically motivated in many cases as some of the ones that we've seen in the past. So we're moving from an era where we've been undermining people's access to the court system when they're the little guy and they're the plaintiff in a lawsuit, and moving away a little bit from bills that try to undermine union workers and people's ability to access a good wage for a fair day's work. We heard some bills on the floor today that we third read, which means that these bills would be eligible to go over to the House side. So these are a few of the Senate bills of note that we went through. One of them that passed today was Senator Sater's bill, and I always like when Senator Sater has a bill that I can support because oftentimes he doesn't. But this involves the Foster Care Bill of Rights to make sure that children who are in foster care, that they are well taken care of, and then it's clearly spelled out what rights they have as the children of parents who are not their biological parents. Senator Koenig offered a strengthening families bill, and this is a bill so that when families have difficulty, and maybe it's because they've lost a job or they're homeless or for whatever reasons they're going through a difficult time, and yet they don't want to send their children to be cared for, they don't want to send them into the foster system. They want to make sure that they are giving their kids what they need to have access to be taken care of without giving up their right to parent them when whatever the problem is resolved. So this particular strengthening families bill allows for a parent to sort of turn over the guardianship of their children on a temporary basis for up to a year so that those children are, again, in a home where they have a roof over their head, where they have food on the table and close to wherever they have a school that they can go to until their parents or parent are able to get back on their feet and take care of them again. I just heard the senator say that in another state where this has happened, they have reduced the number of children going into foster care by 20%, which is pretty significant, not only for the savings that the state would incur by not sending children into foster care, but because these children are then reunited with their biological parents who want to take care of them, but who have run into some difficult situations. We had Senator Cunningham's land purchase bill. This is the second year it's been brought forward. I did not support this legislation. What this land purchase bill says is that when the state is going to purchase some land within the state for a particular use, as they did in Oregon County under Governor Nixon's watch, the public is not usually informed of this until it's late in the process or until the land has been purchased. And what Senator Cunningham put forward was 60-day notification before the land is actually purchased to all the elected officials in any part of any county that has this land in it. And then I think 15 days prior to purchase of the land, public hearings, and people would be notified of those public hearings, I think another 2 weeks in advance. There are a couple of reasons why I didn't support this legislation. First of all, under the Sunshine Law, and those of you who know me know I'm all about transparency in government and making sure the light of day is shined upon what your government is doing. But under the Sunshine Law, one of the few exemptions that is allowed to be closed and not made public is the negotiation of purchases of land for good reason. At the end of the day, if the state is going to purchase land, we don't want to put the state in a position where what they're paying or the fact that they're interested in it becomes public, because then the cost of that purchase could significantly increase. And so I have a concern about then the state not being able to use the taxpayers' dollars as efficiently as it could otherwise. My second concern about that piece of legislation is that there may be cases where state government needs to purchase a small piece of land for a particular use, whether it is because the boundaries are not right or need to be changed as the government is building a new building or dealing with any kind of easement. Then we put into place this onerous burden for public notification and a public hearing and notification in newspapers that I just think doesn't take into consideration the fact that this would really be something that the public would not have much of an interest in, and it's something the government needs to do to move forward on whatever reason they're needing to access a very small and insignificant piece of land for a good use. So I think that there should have been some kind of compromise language in there. I feel like this was retribution for the land purchased in Oregon County, where people down there didn't know well enough in advance to do something about it. I think it would have had a negative impact on a very important purchase of parkland for the state of Missouri. Senator Wasson's Senate Bill 124, I voted for with some reluctance. What his bill does is says that when we put into place legislation that denotes a particular area of the state, we usually do it by population. And the reason we do it by population is it avoids the constitutional question of creating a special law. So when you say any county of the state that has a population of over a million, there may only be one county or city that falls into that population designation. So oftentimes, in order to carve out a particular area or a particular classification of counties, we use population to designate that. In St. Louis County, we used to have a population of a million. Under that population designation, Missouri American Water had language written that said it could have an ISRIS surcharge, an infrastructure system replacement surcharge, which you may have seen on your water bills since 2003, but was not coming forward. You were not being charged in the last year, because what was noted was that the population fell under a million and Missouri American Water was no longer able to charge its customers in St. Louis County that surcharge or tax of about 12 to 15% that they were adding to your bill. When this was brought to my attention that the population changed and it made Missouri American Water ineligible to charge that surcharge or tax, I started asking questions about that and saying, well, even though this was not intended to be a time when we looked at whether that surcharge or tax could be applicable, I took that moment in time when we recognized that there was a population change that threw the ISRIS law into question from my perspective. And what I learned was that even though Missouri American Water is the provider of monopoly utility water service in St. Louis County, but also in St. Joe, Missouri, in Joplin, Missouri, and in Jefferson City, Missouri, and those ratepayers were not paying this tax or surcharge, I began to ask questions about why we were in St. Louis paying this 12 to 15% additional tax. So this bill that was brought forward this year would not only resolve the issue that went to court about whether the population that was designated at the time the law was put into place should be required to continue to be accurate in order for the laws to be upheld, or whether once you fall out of that population realm, the law is no longer in effect for your county or designated area. That went to court. It went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court pretty much kicked it back to the legislature and said, there are so many problems with us making a decision here. We want the legislature to solve this problem. So Senator Wasson brought forward a bill this year that said it was not dealing just specifically with St. Louis County, but with all political subdivisions throughout the state that may be affected by population change. And because it had effect on so many different kinds of districts, from school districts to fire districts, all kinds of things that would have negative ramifications for those areas who had lost population or even significantly gained population that would fall out of the realm of being able to continue with a program or a law that was passed for those areas, I decided that even though I didn't like the outcome for Missouri American Water, I would look at the greater good and the bigger picture and support that legislation. So I did that. And while you will now, going forward, should this bill make it through the process, you will start to see a surcharge on your Missouri American Water bill again. Don't think for one minute that I'm not still working to stand up for your ability to question whether we in St. Louis County should be footing the bill for something that I believe simply allows Missouri American Water to earn back its money quicker for its shareholders, not to support the needs of those of us who are its ratepayers. So that issue is not dead and gone. I'm still working on that. Meantime, that population change issue at least has been settled in the Senate for now, and it will move on to the House. Senator Chappelle Nadal brought forward her Senate Bill 22 this week, which is the buyout for, we think, about 90 houses in the Westlake Bridgeton landfill area. This bill obviously would cost the state a lot of money to do this, but it's certainly important to the people who, you know, believe absolutely that they are being poisoned in their own homes by the radioactive waste that was left there many years ago under the Manhattan Project when uranium was dumped there and people unwittingly built and moved into houses in that area. So this is a significant issue for constituents of her district, but it should be an issue for all of us to know that when the government does something like this and creates harm to families and children that live in those areas, that it will be willing to step up and do something to move people out of harm's way. I think this is a much bigger issue than just the 90 or so homes in that area. It's an issue that has ramifications and implications for all of us who live in St. Louis County and maybe beyond. And so this is an issue that we are looking at and we have discussed in our regional caucus to see what we might do going forward. Now, Senator Chappelle Nadel's bill was not third read and passed today because it has gone to fiscal oversight, because obviously there's going to be a significant amount of revenue involved in buying out these homes. So we'll see what happens. It was perfected on the floor this week. We'll see what happens after it comes out of fiscal oversight and hopefully is brought up to the floor to be third read. Other than that, I will say pretty significantly on the floor this week, we heard two of Senator Emery's bills dealing with utility legislation, one to do with electric companies in Ameren UE and the other to deal with water companies, Missouri American Water. So both of these bills, in my view, and I have all kinds of information in writing from Missouri's Office of Public Counsel, say that these bills are harmful to the consumers and ratepayers in our area, that they, in essence, do a lot of deregulation around Ameren and Missouri American Water, and that they put the risk for spending dollars on the ratepayers rather than having some of the risk involved being overseen or the responsibility to be held by the shareholders. So I don't know if there's compromise legislation on these bills. We're certainly looking into it and looking into those areas. But let me say that the consumers, the ratepayers in my district, your concerns are my concerns. That's why I've been willing and able to answer questions and ask questions and stand up to these bills on the Senate floor. At the end of the day, those of you who are saying, please, let's modernize our electrical grid in the state of Missouri, let me tell you that that work is already being done and that there is nothing currently that precludes Ameren from updating the grid and modernizing it. So I am not standing in the way of modernizing Missouri's grid. I am standing in the way of some other policies that have to do with how payments go out and are calculated and what kind of return on investment those shareholders can make that you and I, the ratepayers and consumers, pay. That's it for this week, and looking forward to talking to you again next week.